You're listening to TV Madness with your host, Makisha Madden-Toby. On today's show, we're going to be talking to Norman Reedus. And while he isn't a household name, for three seasons on AMC's The Walking Dead, he's been dazzling fans as Daryl Dixon, a crossbow-wielding stoic who kills zombies, sees straight through manipulation, and speaks his mind all the time. I recently got a chance to interview him during a roundtable just before the season started, and he talked about, you know, sort of what it's like to go from movies, because he's best known for Boondock Saints, and to, you know, doing TV now, which is, this is his first show. And he also talks about, you know, sort of how Daryl is coming into his own in season three, which is exciting stuff. Norman Reedus is a Florida native. He's 43. He's a dad. He's just a fascinating guy. He used to direct. He has a lot of stuff going on. But what we love about him as fans of the show is that he really makes Daryl one of the best characters on the show. So we'll check it out, the interview. And he'll also talk about sort of how season three we'll get to see Daryl and Merle reconnect and what that's going to entail and all that other good stuff. So The Walking Dead airs 9 p.m. Sundays on AMC. Check it out.
But, so I was curious because, you know, your character's found his place in the group. And then when he comes back, I would think that he would want you to go back to the old dynamic. So how's that going to be for you this season?
Well, you know, the thing is, you know, you see somebody like Daryl and he grows up with a brother like Merle, you know, who's racist and he takes drugs and he doesn't want to be his big brother, you know, so... You know, I mean, Merle's kind of like your drunk uncle at a Christmas party. He's like, you're just like, shut up, man, just shut up, you know. So, you know, a lot of this storyline in season three, a lot of the big moments between Merle and Daryl is Daryl telling him he doesn't want to be, he's not his big brother, he's, you know. And, you know, there's conflict with Merle and other people in our group, and so there's, you know, Daryl's in the middle of it. He's trying to put out fires, and then at some point he's like, no, this is what's happening to his group, and he's my brother, and this is what's happening. But certain things happen where Merle tries not to be so Merle-y, and Daryl sees through it, and Daryl tells Merle he's not him. And so Daryl's sort of passing Merle at some point.
We saw that in the second episode, which I loved. I mean, I love both episodes, but I really love Daryl's interaction with the prisoners.
Right.
It was so human, and I just was like, oh my God, I love your character anyway. But I thought that was so great, and he was like, sorry about your friends. Like, sorry, we gotta leave you in this, you know.
I mean, you see, that's the thing, is Daryl's not Merle. Merle would be like, fuck you, so sleeping. Daryl's like, the popularity of Daryl has really sort of taken off, and I think a lot of it happened with Cherokee Rose, that episode. Mm-hmm. I really saw a shift at that episode.
I would argue even before then, when you saved T-Dog.
Well, possibly, but I really saw it when that Cherokee Rose. So, and the reason is, I mean, he won't hesitate to kill you, but he'll also risk his own life looking for your little girl. You know, so, I mean, there were certain moments where, you know, I'd go off looking for Sophia, and Rick would say, don't leave yet, let's stay and make a plan and do it right. And he's like, no, man, I'm better off on my own. So he's still this guy. You know, I always explain Daryl as, he's like an animal in an alley that's, like, in the rain. And you see him, and you want to go touch him, and he snaps at you, and he'll bite you. But if you feed him and take him in for a day or two, he'll follow you forever, you know. So he's kind of like that. Merle's not like that. So, you know, Daryl doesn't hate T-Dog. Daryl doesn't hate anybody in the group. Daryl he'll fight to keep everyone alive. And he's not really looking after for himself. He's got no internal plan that he's going to fuck you over. He's exactly what you see. And part of what you see is somebody that would beat the shit out of Randall without anyone knowing, coming back and just saying, he's got this group, you know. I mean, I beat the fuck out of that kid, and it wasn't our plan. It was like, God knows something. So I just took it upon myself to beat the hell out of him and get the information, because it's saving all these other people.
Right.
So there's nothing sneaky about him, you know. But I think with that Cherokee Rose episode, like, my fan mail went like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it's because he has heart, you know. So.
But he's not Merle, and he's not Rick. That's the thing. I mean, that in that second episode, when Rick's like, that's the deal. you know, this is your cell block, peace. Daryl's like, wait, let's, can we, like, just, sorry. You know what I mean? Like, those are the moments where you're like, this character is one of the best characters on the show. Well, and it wasn't even in the comic book.
Well, it's like, I mean, I hate the term rictatorship. I was there when that term was created, and it was created.
You hate it too?
It was termed by a tweet, and people ran on it. It's lame. And it's also like, Daryl's the number two. Like, I don't like that either. I mean, Daryl's still Daryl.
Right.
There's not a shame. He's not, this is my position now. He's still exactly who he was before. I mean,
right.
Yeah, it's certain terms get, I mean, I know it's good for print and so forth, but it's sort of not the thing. I mean, Rick's not in a tower saying, you're doing this against your will, you're doing that against your will. I mean, that was a moment that came out of a situation where he killed his friend and all the pressure is on him. That's what makes Rick such a good character as well, is the fact that he just keeps messing up. Like, he's trying his best, but he keeps messing up. If he did everything right, it'd be boring.
Right.
But Daryl's not Rick, and Daryl doesn't want to leave this group.
Right.
Daryl doesn't want the responsibility of these people. Daryl doesn't want to sit down with a bunch of people and go, this is where we're at, this is what we need to do. Like, no, he does his thing, and he's loyal, and he'll fight for everybody, and he cares about everybody, and he's finding who he is at the same time through these people relying on him. He's never had that. So he, there's a certain feeling of worth that Daryl has now because people need him, and it's good. It's a good feeling for him, and he'll fight for that. But as far as are we going left or going right, Daryl's going wherever he wants to go. You know, he's still that guy, but he's not going to go this way just to fuck these other people over. That's Merle, you know.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So. But fans need Daryl. That's what I'm saying. It's not just like the group needs him. It's like, I feel like so many times, I think probably more than any other character, you sort of represent the fan perspective, if that makes any sense. Like, when you talked about the rictatorship moment, for instance. There was a scene, in that very scene, like, they cut to Daryl's face, and Daryl just has this look like, finally, this guy got some balls. And he's like, you know what I mean? Like,
there's also a scene, there's lines after that, where Carol tries to talk Daryl into not going with him. He's like, no, man, the guy's got honor. He's like,
yeah,
he's stepping up. It's good. But, you know, he's like that with everybody, and if you notice, Daryl, see, the thing with television, like movies, I've done a bunch of movies, but this is my first like TV thing, really. So in movies you go from here to here, you know, and you can do this all together, whatever. With television, you do these things and you drop these little seeds out of your back pocket, and if people are paying attention and pick up on them, they turn into storylines.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that I've done are turning into storylines.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a freedom with this show in particular. I don't know what it is, but I think all of us feel it. That, I mean, there's no weak links in our chain.
Right,
show.
Right.
You feel safe with everyone, and it gives you the freedom to do stuff like that. Like for example, like the very first episode, or very first season, episode 3 that I came in, it was written, fuck you, I'll kill you, fuck you, I'll kill you, fuck you, I'll kill you. And I had never had a conversation with Frank Darabont about my character ever. So I just showed up and had these lines. But I tried to tear up in between throwing squirrels at people and trying to stab people because he's still a little brother and he lost the only relative he has. So I still tried to play it that I'm fighting because I'm scared, not because I'm going to kill you. You know what I mean? So that's turned into a storyline. When Carol leans over and kisses me on the forehead after I get shot, I flinched. That's not in the script, you know? It just says she kissed him on the forehead. So I flinched. But now there's a backstory about how I'm an abused child. You know what I mean? And it's a big deal in our show. So if everyone's paying attention, and a lot of those are fan-based people paying attention, but if everyone's paying attention to what we're doing, there's all these, with all the characters, there's all these little moments that mean so much, you know? So, you know, they say maybe Daryl and Carol are going to hook up. You know, I get that question a lot. But there's more interesting things, like when a man meets a woman for the first time, there's all these insecure little things and steps people go to that are more Daryl than I'm going to throw you against a tree and the moonlight's going to shine up. You know what I mean? Like, that's not my character. We already have that character. So it's a different role. So I'd rather play these little
subtleties
than do something right off the bat. And I think because I have so many of them and I'm getting away with doing a lot of them, and people are paying attention to turning into stories. I think that's why Daryl's so popular.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
No, it makes total sense.
All right. Yeah.
Sorry. So what is he going to be doing in this season that you can tease?
Let me just tell you season 3. Can
just tell us. We won't tell anybody.
Start with the end.
Well, I mean, he's caught between... there's more tension inside than there is outside this season. And, you know, being inside a prison looks safe, but there's only a small section of this prison that we're in. And the rest of it's just as scary as out there because it's full of zombies and there's people trying to take this prison. And we're fighting for this prison, and there's so much tension inside these walls that it's almost worse than being outside. But we can sleep here, so. Every day we're shooting, and we're like, I can't believe they're letting us do this. This season's amazing, and it feels like a film every day on set. And you know, we just watched episode 4 as a group. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And these are people that were there while we were filming it all day, over and over again. Episode 1, we had a screening for the cast and the crew, and there's, 400 people packed in this place, and everyone's screaming at the top of their lungs. I mean, you could barely hear the dialogue, and there was like 12 TVs set up. And if that does that to us, and we're there filming it, like yawning, bored, is the day over, you know, looking around, jacked on coffee, we need a nap, we're over, you know, we work really hard. So if that does that to us, it's going to blow your minds. I mean, it's great. And the people that are really fans of this show, I don't think that we're doing anything, we're not dumbing anything down for anyone, you know. So it's smart television. And it's not, you know, one of those shows where there's 3 people in an office that you know are going to be there till the season ends, you know. Anyone could go at any time, just like the real world that we're trying to play in. So it's fascinating to watch.
Gail was saying at Comic-Con that this prison set is like her favorite set ever.
It is.
Is it that incredible to work in?
Amazing. Grace Walker, who did a lot of the Mad Max movies, this Australian guy, built the set, and every inch of that thing is so perfect. I mean, there's certain little subtleties in the prison itself that's built that are amazing. I mean, there's like, you know, chessboard like in one room that's made of nuts and bolts, like prisoners sat there forever, like, I mean, like weird little things. So I mean, that prison should be in the Louvre. It's amazing.
I guess that's our turn.
And I agree, it's my favorite set as well. It's pretty awesome.
Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure. Yeah.
Congrats on the
third
season.
Thank you so much. Nice to see you. It's gonna be fun. Cool. You guys doing this all day in here?
I think, well, we don't know really.
Yeah.
I think so.
I like
we don't know who's coming next, but
yes, we, do.
We got you, so we're happy.
Every day things
change in the world. Norman Reedus is a rock star, right, Theo? Theo, again, I cannot thank you enough. Thank you so much for making it sound as good as it felt to do. It was a lot of fun interviewing Norman Reedus. I'm a huge fan of Walking Dead. I'm a huge fan of Norman Reedus. I don't think you can be a fan of The Walking Dead and not be a fan of Norman Reedus, honestly. Check it out. The Walking Dead airs 9 p.m. Sundays on AMC. And now for my thank yous. In addition to Theo, I'll have to thank NPR West, Record Surplus in Santa Monica, the last record store. Visit recordsurplusla.com. Production assistant Adam Janis, and you. Thank you for listening. Take care. I had to learn your